Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back. Today's Daf is Bava Metzia Daf Dalet. We're actually on the top of Dalet Amud Aleph, but perhaps let's just back up a couple of lines to the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis, second from the bottom, Mala Eid Echad. So we're basically continuing. We're picking up in the middle of a discussion. Rabbi Chiya tells us in a brisa that just as when a person himself admits, he partially admits to a claim. Reuven told Shimon, look, remember I lent you $100? Shimon says, look, 50, yeah, but the other 50, no clue. That's called the Moedah B'Miktzas, partial admission. And what happens is, it triggers a shvua obligation on account of Shimon. So Shimon has to, on the part of Shimon, so Shimon has to go ahead and swear to back up his partial denial. What happens if he himself totally denied, but to aid him, came along and told us that Shimon owes 50. So he has to pay the 50. Question is, does that partial incrimination coming from the Edom, coming as a result of the Edom's testimony, is that treated like a Moedah B'Miktzas, which sort of puts Shimon on shaky ground and makes his whole position suspect and triggers a shvua, which would require him to swear in order to confirm that in fact he does not owe the rest? Does it do so or not? Shvua of Moedah B'Miktzas is specific to personal admission as opposed to Edom. Rav Chiya says, yeah, there's going to be a shvua, and the question is why. So we had a Kal Vachomer, and at last count, we're basing the Kal Vachomer on Eid Echad. Now, the halacha is that an Eid Echad can trigger a shvua. In the following case, you have Reuven against Shimon. Reuven says, where's my money? $100. Shimon says, nothing. Eid Echad comes and supports Reuven's position, that Shimon owes him the full 100. Shimon now has to counter that testimony, has to oppose the Eid Echad with a shvua to back up his claim. Now, if an Eid Echad who cannot really force payment, he can't do that, but he can still force a shvua, two Eidim that can bring about payment, certainly they can bring about shvua, that's the Kal Vachomer. Comes the Gemara on the second from the bottom line, Mal Eid Echad, what do you mean? You can't compare to the Eid Echad. Shekein al mashehu meid hu nishba. Shimon now is swearing directly against the Eid Echad, who's incriminating him. So sure, the Eid Echad has the ability to trigger that shvua. Tanya Be'edim, as opposed to your proposal that you want Shimon to swear in a case where Edom said what? What did they say? They said that Shimon owes 50. Okay, those 50 he pays. But you want to now stretch that and have him swear on the part that he's denying. Who says they can do that? Who says the Edom's bringing him to pay the 50 will go ahead and be taken a step further and trigger a shvua that he's obligated now to defend his position on the other 50 that he's denying, which doesn't really relate directly to the Edom? Who says they have the ability to do that, right? That's taking it first. That's a stretch. You're suggesting that he's going to be making a shvua on the part that he denies. That's being very strict. Who says Edom had the koyach to do that? Elomar Papa, you're right. Asim migilgul shvua de Eid Echad. Halach is, suppose an Eid Echad triggers a shvua under those circumstances that we spoke. Now, the fellow with a claim had another claim, which didn't have the ability to trigger a shvua. There was no Eid Echad supporting that claim, etc. So now we can actually include that claim in this claim, in this shvua. It's called Gilgul Shvua. It's like sort of you're packaging it together. You're allowed to bundle it together. Once you're on the shvua stand, on the shvua, in the shvua mode, we're allowed to do something Gilgul Shvua, which means bundle, package together other claims which you now must include in your shvua. Rashi brings, based on the Gemara and Kedushin, It's learned from the halacha of Soita, where she answers to the Shvuah by saying, Amen, 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 right? So it includes other cases where Shvuah would not would not be imposed, but once she's swearing anyways, we include everything. So now if an Eid Echad is Mechayev, he triggers a Shvuah, the fellow with the claim, who's being supported by the Eid Echad, has the Kayach, he has the option of including other, other different claims into the Shvuah as well. Okay, there you go. So it turns out that the Eid Echad has the ability, in a sense, has the ability to impose, to obligate the opponent to swear on something which the Eid Echad is not relating to directly, right? So if he can do that, certainly the two Eidim can do in similar fashion, they can do the same thing in our case where they are testifying about the 50 that he owes, and we want to use that to trigger a Shvuah to obligate him to defend himself with a Shvuah on the part that he's denying. Well, you can't compare. Ma'la Gilgul Shvuah de Eid Echad. You know how Gilgul Shvuah works? It's not the Eid Echad that's doing it, it's the Shvuah. You're bundling, you're enlarging the Shvuah. Once you're swearing, you include everything. Shekin Shvuah, Gerer Shvuah, like, Mitzvah Gerer Smith. The Shvuah itself draws into it other elements as well. It's a Shvuah. It's about the Shvuah, it's not about the Eid Echad. Right? It's an element within Shvuah that allows you to do that. Tanya Rabbi Eidim, as opposed to the case where the Eidim are triggering this, we're trying to have the Eidim trigger this Shvuah by the 50 and the 50, the moment Kamechayvi, they're not triggering a Shvuah outright, they're obligating him to pay 50, and you want to use that as a springboard to get him to swear. Who says you can do that? Well, Pibi Yechiyach will undo that argument by looking at the basic halacha of Moedim Miktsas. Piv means when a person himself admits to partial guilt, right? Admits to, part of the claim. Moedim Miktsas. So, he makes a shvuah, that's a given, right? It's a pasuk. And what is he swearing? On the part that he's denying. So you see that, you have a case where the shvuah is unrelated to the part that he's admitting, right? So you see, it's not necessarily connected. So perhaps the Eidim could do the same? Well, Mala Piv, you can't compare it to Piv, Shekein Eino Bakhasha. A person, by way of his own admission, that's called Piv, that's not affected by Hakhasha, meaning, suppose a person admits that he owes money, and then Eidim come and, override him. It doesn't work. He still pays. So that extra power perhaps is the basis for his ability to also trigger a Shvuah in a case of Moedim Miktas. Basically, Piv has an advantage over Eidim. Because Eidim b'hakhasha are worthless, right? Well, Eid Echad yechiyach. We'll disprove that notion by looking at the Eid Echad. Shiyeshna b'hakhasha. First of all, he is affected by contradiction, right? U'machai b'shvuah, and still, we see the Eid Echad can trigger a Shvuah. Well, one second. Once you're going back to Eid Echad, let's refocus on that. Mal Eid Echad, you can't compete to Eid Echad. Shekein al-masha meiru nishva. Because there the Shvuah is directly opposing the Eid Echad. Shimon has to swear against the Eid Echad. Meaning the Eid Echad is triggering a Shvuah because his direct testimony is what's triggering that Shvuah. So Hima be'edim as opposed to our case with the Eidim, where the Shvuah would be on the other part, the part that they're not speaking of, the part that he's denying that they're not speaking of. Shalma shekafar nishba. You want the Shvuah to come on the part that he's denying. Well, who says it can happen? Oh, Pibi Yechiyach. The regular Moedim Miktsas dispels that notion because you see, when a person admits to 50, he has to swear to defend his position on the denial part. It's not going to work. V'chazar adin, so you're basically going back and forth, like a ping pong. Loiro is the element which is triggering the Shvuah in one of these cases. Kareza is very different than the element in the other case. And the element you find there is not like here. So bottom line is, you cannot, evidently you can't attribute the Shvuah to any of these elements because criterions are not found in all cases. Piv is so different than the Eirechor, etc. So what's a common denominator? Let's find an element which is common amongst all these, meaning Piv and Eidechot. Hatzad la'shava shabahen, shal yidei tano kfirahim boin. The circumstance involves, it entails a claim and denial. V'nishma, and therefore it triggers a shvua, whether it's in the case of the Piv or the Eidechot, afani avi edim. Likewise, I'll include the case of the edim, which also has that element, shal yidei tano ut kfirahim boin. Right, so the himboin means that the litigants are coming to the bezin to deal with a claim and a denial, v'nishba, and likewise it's going to trigger a shvua. Well, one second, we have another distinguishing factor to set apart the edim from the others. Mala tzala shava shabahen. You know what's common to piv and ed echad, which is not found by edim, shekein lehusach kafran. In both cases, the fellow, Shimon, our friend Shimon, was never found to be a kafram. He wasn't an established liar. In the case of Piv, look, he's admitting to 50. Who says he's lying about the rest? In the case where the Erechot is opposing him, who says the Eid is to be believed? Meaning, we haven't established anything yet. So therefore, he makes the Shvua to prove his case. But Tamer Be'edim, as opposed to our case, where Edim came and proved him false and incriminating him on the 50. Shekin was a kafran. Here, he's an established cheat. And Rashi says, how can we now believe him with a shvua? Why should we impose a shvua on him? What's that going to help? Says him, what do you mean? Ube edim yuchs a kafran. Who says if this fellow was found to be guilty by the edim, he's considered a kafran? V'amar avidi barav namar avchizda kafir b'mul v'kashil edis. If a person outright denies having taken a loan, he's still kosher to be an aid. We don't say he's a Rasha, because maybe he's just stalling. He doesn't have money, poor fellow. So it's not called a kafran. But if he denies ever taking a deposit, that's bad news. What are you doing denying that? And Rashi says, we're speaking that the aidim know that he has it in his possession. It wasn't like it was lost. So there's no distinction between Piv, Eid Echad, and two Eidim. Well, Allah Padra Chachi. Well, still we'll find the distinguishing factor between those and the Eidim. Malah Sadav Sheva Shebehen. You know what's common to Piv and Eid Echad that is not found by Eidim? Shekin Einan B'Teres HaZono. There's no concept of Eidim Zemimin by a person's own personal admission. Oh, when you have an Eid Echad. The Allah is that if two Eidim come and attempt to incriminate somebody, let's say, financially, right? And it turns out that they're falsifying the story. They're plotters. It's called Zemim. They're plotters, meaning another two Eidim showed up and undid their testimony. How could you allege to have been at this and this location Sunday morning? Well, at that very same moment, you were with us in a different city. Halacha is these Eidim now will have to pay that same amount that they attempted to impose on this person. And that's a knas, right? It's a penalty that they have to do. And it doesn't apply. The person himself admits that's a totally irrelevant to the Eidim Zayimint, type of circumstance. And likewise, if an Eid Echad attempted to incriminate somebody and he's discovered to be an Eid Zayimim, Rashi says, although his testimony is nullified, but he doesn't get the knas of the Eidim Zayimim. He doesn't have to do that payout. So bottom line, these fellows have an advantage over the Eidim. Tomer be'Eidim she'yeshnun b'teres hazama. The concept of Eidim Zayimim does apply to two Eidim who are discovered to be falsifiers. They have to pay the knas. So perhaps they have a disadvantage and they cannot impose a shvua in the case of a miktsas chiv, Says the Gemara, so bottom line, we have a kasha or a pchia who establishes for us that Eidim can, when Eidim come and testify to a person's partial, obligation, partial financial guilt, so to speak, you do own part of that money, it's going to trigger a shvua. He has to defend himself with a shvua on the rest. How could he learn from Piv and Eidecha? They have an advantage over Eidim Zayim, over Eidim who are susceptible to Hazama. Holy kasha, that's not a kasha. Rabbi Chia, who establishes halacha, did not reckon this as a distinguishing factor. Teres hazama leperach. Why? Rashi says, it's not considered a perach, it's not a refutation on this equation. Because if, you know, the fact that the Edom, you know, the Edom's susceptibility to hazama, the fact that they're affected by the hazama status, and that would be a reason, if that is a reason for them not to have the ability, want to take away their kayach to bring a shvua because of that reason, you know what, we would have done the same thing by the Eidechad. Because the fact is, even though you're right, the Eidechad can never come to have to pay that penalty. That's the halacha. There's no din of payout. The hazama payout by Eidechad turns out to be a falsifier, but his Eidus is batal. So in a certain aspect, Eidechad is also fully susceptible to the hazama concept. So bottom line, they're both on the same plane. You can't distinguish, and there's no reason to differentiate. So that's pretty much the end of the sugya that we compare Edom to Piv and Eidechad, just like they can impose Yeshua. Likewise, we have a case of two Edom, such as where Reuben claimed $100 against Shimon. Shimon denied it totally, and Edom came and testified to half of that amount. Shimon now has to make a shvuah to defend himself and support his claim on the part that he's denying. So that's okay. Now, Elo de Ka'amar v'tana tuna. The question is, on the second part of Rav Chiya, the Tana of Al-Mishnah regarding Shnayim Eichsum Metalis also supports this notion. Why? So we explained this yesterday. They're both grabbing the talis. So in effect, Reuben is yelling to Shimon, right? What are you doing? Get off my talis. It's all mine. You're taking my thing. And Shimon is in total denial. What do you mean? It's mine. Now, we see our perception of this, you know, situation is, leads us to conclude that really Reuben has half, right? He owns at least half. So it's like Edom. It's clearly evident that Reuben owns half. So basically, we have Edom against 50%. We have Edom against Shimon regarding 50%. You're in total denial. What do you mean? At least half of it belongs to Reuben. And the Mishnah says, you make a shvua. Shimon has to swear that, you know, to support his claim. So that's going to support our idea that Edom can bring a shvua in this type of case. So we're going to dwell on that. We're going to ask on that. How could you compare to our Mishnah? How could you source this halacha in our Mishnah? Ela dekamar tana tuna midam. How do you compare the two things? Hasam, there. Meaning, in the case of the Maidu and Miktas, lemalve isli sahadi. The lender has Edom, that he's owed 50. Leleve lesle sahadi. The leve masak leve le midi. The leve has no edim to support the part that he's denying. The yavu le sahadi. The leve masak le midi. If the leve would have had edim to support his case, leboyer chilish tabuyer, he would not impose a shvua on Shimon if he has edim to support his case. But over here, hacha, as opposed to the case of the Mishnah, they both are supported by the facts. Just like we are sort of testimony, we're like sort of living testimony. We see behind that, you know, Reuben is a partial owner on the pot that he has in his hands. Anan Sadi, behind, we have the same perception regarding the pot that's in Shimon's hands. So basically, Shimon is just as supported by our perception like Reuben is. And still, you're imposing a shvuah on Shimon. Why? He's fully supported on the pot that he has. So evidently, the din shvua in our mission, says Rashi, is unrelated to this halacha of Moedim Miktas. It's a special takana we learned yesterday to dissuade people from grabbing other people's items in cases of mitziah and, you know, places where a person can sort of be Moira Heter and excuse himself and take the liberty to reach out and grab other people's things, right? So it's a special you know, takana, which is unrelated to the halacha of Moedim Miktas. So that sort of highlights the kasha now. Why are we sourcing the halacha of Moedim Miktas in our Mishnah, which is unrelated? Eloki itma, you're right. When we learned this halacha, this phrase of Tana Tuna, we're trying to source a halacha in our Mishnah, aidach the Rav Chiya itma. It was related to a different Rav Chiya's halacha. And that's going to be sourced in our Mishnah. Because that's similar to our Mishnah. Which one is this? Dar Rav Chiya, manali biyatcha. Reuben approaches Shimon, look, you know, You owe me 100, right? Shimon responds, yeah, 50, for sure. Here, take it, it's right here. Chayev. Shimon has to swear on the part that he's denying. My time and why? Even though he's offering it to him right here, it's like any other moedah b'miktzas. He's offering part of it, he's demanding to part, denying the rest, make a shvua. We have a right from our Mishnah. Shnayim echsam betalas, right? They're both grabbing the article. Because over here, it's a similar case. Reuven is demanding the whole talis. Shimon's in total denial. But we see half of it in Reuven's hands. Correct? So in a way, we look at it like sort of a de facto admission on that half. Right? Although he's not personally admitting it, but we see it. We see that Reuven is in the right on that 50. But it's more than he's in the, more than that. He's just in the right. He's actually holding it. It's like hilach. It was offered to him. It's in his possession. Uktani yishav. And the mission says you have to make a shvua. And again, Rashi points out that we figured that it's all based on a shvua d'iraisa. It's my d'vei miktsa. So we see that hilach is chayev. A shvua. Rav Sheshes Amar. Rav Sheshes disagrees. No, Helich Potter. If the defendant isn't just admitting, but he's actually offering him the money, part of the money, and he's Potter from his shvua. You know why? My time. Given the Amalei Helich, once he offers him that partial, you know, payout, Hanizuzi the Kamoidu Gavay. These money, these coins that he's giving him, Kamada Naklu Mavadami. It's as though the Malva Reuven is holding on to it. He's got it back. And some explain. It says, oh, he never claimed it. That's it. Case closed. There's no claim on it. We're not discussing it. It's not up for discussion. You close the file on that. It's not part of the claim. It's done. The claim was sort of undone, right? So be in a chamishim halimoidi. So all that's left is the other 15. He's not admitting to that. He's in total denial. Hilkach leka hidas mixa satana. That puts the rest, the whole concept of moedim mixas in this situation. There's no moedim mixas. It's full denial. We're only left with a claim on 50. And he's fully denying. Kaifer HaKol makes no shvua. So bottom line, where's my 50? Where's my 100? 50, yeah, sure, here, take it right here. Rav Chiya says, he's a moedim b'miktsas. He's admitting to part of my claim. Make a shvua. Rav Sheshi says, no. He undid the claim on that 50. It's done. It's over with. Case closed. The only outstanding claim is on the 50. And he's in full denial. Kaifer HaKol, full denial, makes no shvua. Now, Rav Sheshes Kashi Masnissen. What does Rav Sheshes do with our Mishnah? Which we just explained is like a halach situation. So why is he swearing? I'm like Rav Sheshes. So he responds, Masnissen Takanas Chachamim. No, it's unrelated to the Shvua Minat Torah. It's a special Takana, like we explained before, to dissuade, you know, grabbers. Takanas Chachamim. Vidach, Rav Chiya says, you're right. In, that's true, Takanas Chachamim. But still, the Chacham typically model their takanis. They sort of mirror. They follow the deraisa templates. If you would agree with me that in a classic moedim miktsas together with helach, he still has to do the shvua. So it works out that metakni rabbanon shvua kein deraisa. Rabbanon were looking to make a shvua because of concern that people might, you know, be grabbing other people. So yeah. They sort of modeled it after the Shvu D'Oraisa, meaning despite the fact that here we have a similar situation like a Halach, because part of it is already being given back. But just like Halach is Chaya, here as well we make a Shvu by Halach. Eli Amos from the Rice Halach Pot, but if you would assume that Halach has no Shvu D'Oraisa, Metakni Rabbon and Shvu, the Lesser the Kavasab D'Oraisa, would it make sense that Chachamim would make a Shvu, which doesn't resemble any Shvu'a D'Oraisa, sort of charting a new course? It's unlikely. And Rav Sheshes says, and Rav Chiya says, that proves my point. That serves to support my opinion that in a Moedim Miktsa situation, he's chayv even if there was a Halach factor. Meisve, here comes a Kash. Kashi on who? On Rav Chiya. Okay, we have a shtar. A loan document. where they failed to specify the exact amount of that loan. Sloim, dinrin, so it speaks about plural. Coins, right? Dollars, cents. How much? 100, 5, 2. Malva im chamesh. The lender claims it was $5. Vleva amar shalosh. Vleva says it was 3. What happens? Rabbi Shimon Lazar Aymar. Hoyel v'hoyde mikzas atani yishom. This is your classic way of mikzas. He's agreeing to part. Meaning 2 is a given because it's plural. It's a question of 2 or 5, and he's admitting to 3, so he's sort of agreeing to part of the claim. You have to make a shvu. Rabbi Kiva Amar, no. He deserves a medal. Eino yelo kimeshu aveda upater. The Leva is doing him a favor. He could just stick with the default definition of slime, which is plural, as the least amount, 2. In fact, he's offering a third. He's being a decent fellow. He's a meshu aveda. Now, loch is, Rashi brings that, when a person returns a lost item and he's up for this, he's up against the claim of the owner who claims that he found more, then he's returning. There's no shvuah, there's a takana. We want to encourage people to do a Shabbos Aved and, without concern of being vulnerable to lawsuits, right? So there's no shvuah here as well. He's doing a biggest favor. Now, ketani mias. Bottom line is, what does the Braisa say? Reb Shimon Lazar Eimer, he does make a shvuah. Hoyl v'hoyda miktsas hatana yishava. Now, the Gemara is going to make a diuk. Time of Damas Shalish. The reason why he's going to be making a shvuah, that's because he responded with 3. Right? So he admitted to part of the thing, of the claim. Hashtayim Potter. But let's say he would have admitted to 2 coins, then he would be potter from a shvuah. Why? Vayishtar the kamoid behelachu. Because the 2 is really in the shtar. Even with that as admission, right? You know, the simple basic meaning of slime is 2. So that's like halach. Why is it halach? Because the amount that's indicated in the shtar is fully accessible to the malva. Rashi explains because the shtar allows him to access the borrower's properties. It sort of imposes an automatic lien on his property, so it's accessible to the malva for an easy collection. It's like halach. It's like he has it accessible in his hands. And what do we see? Even though the shtar, the kamoid bei halach, the shtar that he's admitted to, that the amount that he's admitted to, which is actually in the shtar, is really like in halach. Ushmamino halach potter. So what do we see? There's no chiyuv amoid bei miksas there. He's potter because halach is potter. It's a kashan of chiyuv. Lo, he says the mulayim emloch shtaim chayiv. The truth is that even if he would admit to 2, he's also considered moedim miktsas, and it's chayv ishvu. Because even though it's heilach, it's chayv. Like Rabbi Chiya, why did Tani Shalosh? Why does the Mishnah, why does the Brice cite the number 3? Not because 3 is opposed to 2. Because we're trying to highlight something here. We're trying to bring out a point that has to make a shvuah. As opposed to Rabbi Kiva's opinion, Rabbi Kiva considered him a Mesha Aveda, right? Lafukim Rabbi Kiva, the Omar Mesha Aveda Potter. Rabbi Kiva says, well, if you're going up to 3, you're adding, that's Hashavas Aveda, you're Potter. Mashman comes to Rabbi Shimon Lazar says, no, even in that case, the Moida mixes Hatanavi, and you have to make a Shvuah V'chayiv. Yachi, if that's true, that according to the first Shita, which is Rabbi Shimon Lazar, he would make a Shvuah regardless of whether he says 2 or 3. Yachi. So, the wording would have been a bit different in the Braisa. Yachi, Rav Shimon Lazar Eimer, he should have said it like this, Hayel v'hayda, miktsas, he does, right, he says, Hayel, we're quoting now, Rav Shimon Lazar Eimer, Hayel v'hayda, miktsas atani yishava, when he admits the three, because it's a partial admission, makes a shvuah. He should have said it differently. That even three is chayv, even by three, not only by two, even by three when he's actually adding, he's offering extra. Don't say it's a shavas aveda. Avze yishavam abay. He should have said it like that. If it's true that even by two is chayv yeshvo. Elo Elmstein, potes, and hold it. You're right. Your inference is 100% right. The diuk is correct. He's only a chayv yeshvo by three, but by two he's potter. But not because of helach. Unrelated to helach. Helach chayv. Typically helach was chayv. So why is it? Why would this be different? Because here we're dealing with a totally different circumstance. Because it's a shtar. V'shan yochad dekam esayli shtara. Plain and simple. The wording of the shtar is in support of his claim because the shtar does not enumerate any numbers here, doesn't stipulate any amount. That leads us to believe that the Edom who signed the shtar knew that it was only two, and that's why they left it as plural. Otherwise they would have included a number. So this fellow who's claiming two is being supported by the shtar. Of course he doesn't have to swear. Inami, another reason why he wouldn't have to swear if he's only admitting to two, mishum nahavli shtar shibit kakoyetz, because anything that's included in the shtar relates to shibit kakoyetz. Like we explained, the person borrows money and it's drafted into a, you know, it's formalized in a shtar, then all his assets, all his properties are meshubet, are bound to that loan. So once we start discussing whether denying or admitting claims which are have been formulated formally in a shtar, then you're relating to, you know, properly lien, you know, related claims, that's called shibut hakoyis, and there's no shvua. Ve'ein shboin al kfira shibut hakoyis, we never. Make a shvua, whether it's when you deny shibut hakoyis, or in this case, when you're admitting to a certain extent about shibut hakoyis, halachas, we don't make a shvua on kaka-related claims, and Rashi brings the Gemara in Shavuos as such. So bottom line, we thought we had a kasha or a b'chia, we thought this was a halach situation, and you're potter? No. Sure, you would be potter if you're only admitting to two, but unrelated to halach, for other reasons. A, either because the shtar is supporting your claim, or because there's a shibut kakoyis element. Iko the ma'isim is safe. Others had a different version. They were going to ask a kasha on Rav Sheshes, from the second part of the Brice, from Rav Kiva, Oyma Eina El Kamesha Vedo Potter. When he responds with the number three, Rav Shabbos Avedi or Potter. Time of the Masholosh, it's only because he added the third, Hashtayim Chayiv. If he would stick with two, he would be Chayiv. Moedu Mikzas. Why? Vashtar, the Kamoedu Bebe Kehelech Dombi, as we explained before, any amount, in this case, the number two, which is sort of implied from the shtar, it's like halach because it's fully accessible to the malv. It can go straight to the assets. Ushmamna halach chayim. So clearly, we see that even a halach situation can trigger a shvua by doing mikzas. Loi loelam and lochstayim na meipata. No, it's not a kashan of sheshes. Perhaps even if you would admit only to two, it'd be potter because of halach. Vaditani sholish. Why does Rabbi Kiva mention the exemption from the shvua by three? Lafuki midrab Shimon Elazar. Because he's trying to bring out a point, as opposed to the other sheet, the Omar Moedim Mixas Atana Havi Bechayv, who considers it a Moedim Mixas. Kamash Mon Kazar Kiva says no. When I added a third, that's Hashem Saveda, I deserve a medal. The Mesh Aveda Vipot. Achanam Mustavra, in fact, will prove it to be true. Because if it was in fact true that by responding with the number two, that would trigger a Shavua. So now when this fellow added a third, who says he's trying to be an honest fellow? Maybe he's just playing tricks, playing games. He knows that if he would say two, it's moedu mikzas. So he says, you know what? Instead of saying, claiming two and having to make a shvua and then, you know, getting himself into trouble, he'll say, you know what? Let me offer him a third. I'll have to take it. Because then I'll be a Hashavas Aveda fellow. Bishalosh, why does Rabbi Kiva say he's potter by three? Maybe he's just playing games. It's just a ploy, it's a trick, it's a ruse. It's an investment. He's adding a third in order to exempt himself from a shvuah, so he can get away with three instead of more. Hiya, Rumika Maram, he's just playing again. All right, I'm just playing games. So he figures, if I would respond with the number two, but in the shtabu, I would have to take a shvuah. Because it's not a Shabbos Aveda. Eima Sholish, you know what? I'll offer him a third. The Avik Mesha Aveda. Now I'll be labeled as a Mesha Aveda. I'll be part of a shvuah. So it undoes our whole, you know, the basis of considering him a Mesha Aveda sort of falls by the wayside. If anything, so we should be fully suspect of the fact that perhaps he's just orchestrating this Shabbos Aveda perception, which is not really true. Elish Maminosh Taim Nami Pot. Oh, so apparently. We have to prove that if he would respond with number two, he'd be Potter. Because it's Halach. So really, he has nothing to gain by adding a third. If he would say two, he's also Potter. And the fact that he chose to add a third, Hashav HaSaved. So now, Elokash L'Rav Chiya. So once we've proven this to be true, that even by responding with number two, he's Potter because of Halach, that's a Kash L'Rav Chiya. Who says Halach is Chayev? Oh, here it's very different. Remember, there's a shtar, and we have those two reasons why a shtar changes things, right? Shani Hasam, number one, the Kamasai Lishtar, the shtar supports him. Of course he's Potter. Because the Lashon Rabim, the shtar, indicates that's just two. Otherwise they would elaborate and explain the number. Inami, another reason why. When he responds with the number two, he's Potter, Mishum Dehavali Shtar Shibit Kakois. Because it relates to a lien on Karaka, and we explained before, Ve'enesh Boyin, Al Kfir Shibit Kakois, Nil Shvuah, relates to claims and denials and admissions regarding Karaka. So, bottom line, the classic way the Mitzvah entails, where's my $100? Oh, here, I owe you 50. He makes a Shvuah on the other part. Halach means, I'm offering it to you right now. It's a regular way to mix us. No. That 50 is off the table. Now we're dealing with just 50. A claim and a denial on 50. That's okay for our kill. In the first version, we thought we had a kasha on Rav Sheshes, and we answered it. The second part, we thought we had a kasha on Rav Chiyah, and we answered it. Here comes another kasha. Mosiv Mazut Rebbeid Rav Nachum. So this is a Mishnah Masechah Shavuos. Tanoi Kalim Kakois. Where's my land? Where's my Kalim? How does he respond? Hoyda Bekalim. Vikafa Bekakois. Okay, yeah, here's your car, but Karka, that's mine. Or the other way. Hoyda Bekakois. Vikafa Bekalim. He admitted to the Karka, he denied the Kalim. In both cases, he's Pot. Because as we explained, any denial or admission relating to Karka does not trigger a Shua. Likewise, Hoida mixes kakois pot. If he admitted to part of the land, also pot. But mixes kalim chayef. If he admitted to part of the kalim, that's a classic way to mixes, and he has to make a shvua. End of halacha. Now let's make a diuk. Tam of the kalim kakois. The only reason why he does not make a shvua in the first cases is because there was a double claim, kalim and karaka. The karaka la bashvui. Because you can't make a shvua on karka-related claims. Okay, well, let's say in a similar case, but instead of speaking about karka, we have kalim and kalim. You owe me two cars, but it's in a similar fashion to land. Dumio de kalim kakois. Let's say you would have a kalim-kalim situation similar to kalim kakois. What does that mean? Just like karka is right here. So let's say the kalim that he's admitting to are right here. Chayiv, he would have to make a shvua. Hey, Chedami, for instance, lav damar lehelach. In a case where he's offering it to him right here. Ushmam no helach chayiv. So clearly, helach is also considered by the mitzvahs and triggers a shvua. It's a right to Rav Chiya. Loi, no, loi, lo, meim, lo, kelim, kelim, nami, pot. Perhaps, if he claimed two kelim and one of them is right here and he's returning it, he would be pot. That's not called the way to mitzvahs. V'hadik tani, kelim kakoyis. So why does the Mishnah specifically discuss Kalim and Karaka? If the same thing can theoretically apply to Kalim and Kalim, how come Ashman, the point of the Mishnah is to say that even though karka cannot trigger a shvua, but hoida b'miktas kelim chayev alav hakakos. If he had a double claim, my kelim, my karka, and he admitted to part of the kelim, that's a moed b'miktas. So although karka on its own cannot trigger a shvua, but once there's a shvua being triggered by the kelim, he can include a shvua. We can compel him to incorporate a shvua to defend his denial, to support his claim on the karka too. Like we explained before, that's the concept of Gilgul Shvua. You can't initiate it on karka, but once you have it going, you include the karka as well. And the more I ask on that, Mike Mashman, what's the point of this mission? So Eki Kinda, you can bundle together. Oh, we already have the mission in Kiddushin. Tanina, Zoyki Kinda Nechasim, Sheina Nechrais. Which is a phrase used to describe non-secure entities, like mobiles, like items, like objects. So when those items trigger a shvua, they can be zoikik, they can incorporate, they can oblige a shvua even on land, on secure assets, which is real estate. That's anachasim sheishan achreis, l'shavalein, to impose a shvua on them. So we already have that Mishnah there. Why discuss it again in Shavuos? In Masechet Shavuos. Hacha Ikar. Says the Gemara, you're right. The Mishnah Masechet Shavuos discussed before is sort of the focal point. That's the primary. That's what we, you know, discuss the halachos of Shavua. That's the Ikar place. Hasam Agar Gar Naspa. There in Kedushin, it's just brought sort of, by the way, an account of discussing similar ideas regarding kinyanim, right? You can once you get the kinyan on the karka, you can use that same kinyan on the other things. So we're sort of getting on the track of bundling and tying things together. So we bring this halacha as well. You can tie together the karka with the kelim in the same shvur. So it's not necessarily a repetition. It's just sort of reviewed together with the other halacha. Agav grora. Okay, continue with Hashem tomorrow. Bottom line, we have two Rebchiyas today. First, the Rebchiyas says, just as when a person self-admits to have that claim, he's chayv eshua. Likewise, if the Edom obligate him to pay part of that claim, that imposes a shvua, that triggers a shvua on the rest, part is that he's denying. We have a second Rebchiyas that, a case of Moedim Miktsas, which involves Halach, there's also chayv eshvua. It's supposed to have sheish, it says halach is pater. We had some rias back and forth from a brisa and then from a mishnah. To be continued by Hashem tomorrow. All the best to you and atzlacha.